Our final case today is Monroe against the Golden Rule Insurance Company.
Good morning, David Miracini. Miracini for the Monroes. There are three periods of Mrs. Monroe's inpatient confinement at St. Luke's Medical Center in Milwaukee that are at issue that we allege Golden Rule did not fully cover and did not cover it in bad faith. That is to say, it had no reasonable basis.
Counsel, I'm a little worried, actually, about subject matter jurisdiction. So far as I can figure out, the amount of insurance at issue is zero, because everything that you say was due has, in fact, been paid. It was a little late, but the people who were aggrieved by the lateness are the physicians rather than your client, who was never, as far as I can tell, aggrieved, didn't have any bad auto-repossessed credit reports generated, anything like that. So how can this case possibly involve $75,000 in damages when the amount at issue between the parties is, to a reasonable proximity, zero?
Because under Wisconsin law, the insured's attorney's fees are considered part of their compensatory damages.
But they are not considered part of damages in federal court. 1332 says exclusive of interest and costs. And, of course, the amount of attorney's fees you had to invest in order to get this award is also zero because they paid. And I will finish up by saying no sane man spends $75,000 of his own money to get an insurance company to pay $4,000 faster to a doctor.
We were also seeking punitive damages.
Which the Supreme Court has held in State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company against Campbell, another nice insurance case, certainly shouldn't exceed double and probably constitutionally can't exceed 10 times the actual injury. And 10 times zero is still zero. We have a problem here, don't we?
Jurisdiction was never an issue that was raised.
It's an issue now. It is an issue in every federal court case at every stage.
The defendant did pay the plaintiff's underlying out-of-pocket costs during summary judgment at the district court.
And the dispute, even when it began, was only about $4,000.
Correct. Wisconsin law does say that attorney's fees are part of compensatory damage. That's not a procedural aspect of the law. It seems to me that that's the law that should be applied.
Well, tell you what, I will invite you and Mr. Anderson for Golden Rule to file memoranda on this question within 10 days, addressing the question how the statutory amount in controversy could be met in a case like this. Anyway, go ahead and proceed on the merits.
Very well. There are three inpatient time periods at issue: January of 2000, May of 2000, and June of 2000. Based on the evidentiary materials of record, it is absolutely undisputed that for the January time, first of all, Golden Rule's sole defense in this action is that based on Section 1 of the policy, there's absolutely no obligation for the insurer to have to cover any nursing charges if those nursing charges are billed separately by the hospital, which is to say, if they're not included under the same itemized heading in the hospital's bill as the charge for the room and the meals. It is absolutely undisputed, based on the evidentiary materials of record, that none of the remaining charges that Golden Rule had not paid, $960-some worth for the January 2000 confinement, were for nursing charges, or for the room charge, or for meal charges. They were, in fact, all charges for the prescription drug Neupogen, which is fully covered under the terms of the policy. That's the first element of the claim of bad faith. the insurer lacked a reasonable basis for denying the coverage. The second element being that the insurer knew, or by the way it conducted its investigation, was reckless in ascertaining that it had no reasonable basis to deny the coverage.
Didn't the hospital, though, have some sort of odd way they were cutting out these?
For the nursing charges?
Yes.
Absolutely. It was literally impossible for Golden Rule to figure out what the hospital's most common daily nursing charge was. That's a given. They tried. They could not. The hospital itself couldn't explain that to Golden Rule, which only left them one option under the policy, which was to pay them in full. If I may continue. On September 28, 2000, Dee Jennings of Golden Rule had a telephone conversation with someone named Angie at Aurora Healthcare. This is in the telephone log transcript that the defendants made evidentiary in the district court. This was a year and a half before this lawsuit was even filed. During that conversation, Dee Jennings inquired as to the room and board and nursing charges for that January 2000 confinement, and Angie of Aurora Healthcare told her exactly what the room charges were, what the combined room and meal charges, and what the nursing charges were. On September 28, 2000, Dee Jennings of Golden Rule knew specifically that none of the remaining charges that Golden Rule was covering was either for nursing services or for room or for meals. She may not have known specifically at that time that they were for the prescription drug Neupogen, but she knew that it was nothing to do with Section 1 of the policy, which only limits room or board or nursing charges. The record on this appeal actually establishes Golden Rule's bad faith, at least with respect to the January 2000 confinement. They knew they had no basis to not pay those charges. The June 2000 confinement, approximately $2,000 at issue. There again, it's absolutely undisputed that none of that money was for nursing charges or for room or meal charges, that were for prescription drug charges. First prong of our claim for bad faith is met. The insurer lacked a reasonable basis for denying coverage for those charges. Did Golden Rule know? Were they reckless in conducting their investigation? Look at the evidence of record. After Dee Jennings talked to Angie of Aurora Healthcare way back in September of 2000 and was put on clear notice that there was something wrong with Golden Rule's numbers and their records based on the January confinement, did she ask about the June confinement? No. Did she ask St. Luke's to resubmit the bills? No. Did she ask for an itemization of bills so she would know exactly what each nursing charge was, what each room and meal charge was? No. In fact, she flatly, affirmatively refused Aurora's offer to provide her with an itemized list of those charges. Evidence that an insurer didn't diligently conduct an investigation, remember, Golden Rule did nothing until after Ms. Murillo complained to the insurance commissioner. Evidence that the insurer refused to take into account facts that were presented to it. Evidence that the insurer conducted its investigation in such a way that would not allow it to discover the true facts involved in the claim, that's evidence of bad faith under Wisconsin law. Furthermore, a mere 3 days after she had her telephone conversation with Angie, Dee Jennings writes a letter to Mr. Monroe representing to him that the base room and meal charges at St. Luke's in calendar year 2000 was only $311 a day, when she knew, because Angie told her in that telephone conversation, it was $344.25 a day. So she only allowed benefits based on a $311 figure she knew was not correct. She continued to misrepresent what the nursing charges were for the January confinement period. And she continued in that misrepresentation up until their motion for summary judgment in the district court. Evidence that an insurer failed to give the claim a fair and honest evaluation and review is also evidence from which a jury can infer the defendant's bad faith. Summary judgment should be denied with respect to the June 2000 confinement. That leaves the May 2000 confinement. Again, $900 not paid there. There, the remaining charges were ostensibly for nursing services. But in order for the court to determine whether that's proper, the court has to construe the policy. The defendants have never argued for their interpretation of the policy. And then even if the court finds our interpretation unreasonable, defendants reasonable, the court has to decide whether to invoke the doctrine of equitable estoppel based on the conduct of the defendant previously with respect to the Monroe's coverage. During her first confinement period, Golden Rule did the same thing, denied full coverage, claiming they were separate billed nursing charges. The Ms. Rule complained. They reversed their denial, covered everything in full. Mrs. Monroe continued her treatment, believing that, again, there would be full coverage. And then Golden Rule turned around and reversed its reversal. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Anderson.
May it please the court, counsel. I'd like to deal with a couple of the plaintiff's arguments just briefly.
Do you have any comments on jurisdiction, or do you want to reserve that for your memo?
Well, I will comment.
It's hard to see what we're doing here on a case that looks like $4,000 maximum when it began.
Absolutely, and that actually struck me this morning as I was going back and reviewing this.
It should have struck you the moment this case walked into federal court.
Well, the
$4,000 is well under the jurisdictional amount.
The plaintiff's complaint under the well-pled complaint rule in its Exhibit B to defendant's supplemental appendix does not specify a dollar amount in terms of medical damages. And when Golden Rule got this case, we spent a lot of time just figuring out what exactly was at issue in the case. I think it took a series of interrogatories to determine that. And what they originally claimed was they had about $5,700 in bills, a set of five different claims that were denied. And then they also pled attorney's fees and unspecified punitive damages. And it was based on that there was no limit to, and of course at that time Campbell had not yet been decided, there was no limit to what they could recover if indeed there was a bad faith punitive finding. Under Wisconsin law, there is no ratio of damages per se. So based on that, that's what Golden Rule used to remove it. And certainly in retrospect, where you look at what we now know is $3,800, they withdrew two of those claims, realizing that Golden Rule is correct in applying those to deductibles and copays and so forth. We're down to about $3,800 in bills in dispute. And, of course, those have since been paid. But Golden Rule knew none of that at the time the complaint was filed. It was just an unspecified, it's a very terse complaint. It's unspecified medicals, unspecified punitives, and unspecified attorney's fees were sought. And Golden Rule knew that there was a lot at stake in the sense that Golden Rule had paid $289,000 in bills. So, I mean, it was a fairly large claim when you first look at it, but of course, that's not what turned out to be an issue.
That's not what the dispute was about.
That's correct.
Anyway, what,
no, I understand.
Both sides have 10 days for simultaneous memos on subject matter jurisdiction.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate
that. And you should be aware that even to the extent attorneys, both of you should be aware, that even to the extent attorneys' fees are treated as substantive damages under state law, for jurisdictional purposes, those fees are limited to the fees that had been accrued on the date the complaint had been filed. You might want to look at a case in this court called Gardinsky-Lashuk, which discusses that question. Fees accrued after the filing date of the complaint can never count toward the amount in controversy.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a substantial difference because I think most of the fees claimed are afterwards, the $30,000 that he's claiming. The plaintiff in their brief spent a lot of time on contract interpretation and equitable estoppel and so forth. And I would just submit to the court that those really deal with the underlying contract dispute that ultimately has been resolved, whether or not Golden Rule correctly interprets the contract is not the issue. It's whether or not Golden Rule's contract interpretation is reasonable. I do note that the district court did find that Golden Rule's interpretation of the contract is, in fact, reasonable. As Your Honor pointed out, this is what St. Luke's was doing. It was really particularly unusual to the point that they would put a brochure out to the prospective patient saying, unlike any other hospital, we bill separately for nursing charges. We don't bundle them in with the most common semi-private room rate, which is historically how insurance companies have dealt with it. Because everything's bundled together, you just have one limit for all three, and that's limited to the most common semi-private room rate. That's how the policy reads. So when you unbundle it, it has the effect of taking it out from coverage under the policy. That's what the district court held. And the question really in the context of this case is that reasonable to read it that way? The other issue the plaintiff spends a lot of time is equitable estoppel because Golden Rule went back and paid the first claim. Originally, there was about $3,800 that was denied. Golden Rule realized it was for these nursing charges. Golden Rule realized that it had not applied the repricing savings on the whole bill to wipe out that non-covered expense. It went back and did that promptly. That was taken care of, and the plaintiff is trying to say that somehow Golden Rule is obligated to pay everything thereafter. I don't think paying one bill obligates an insurance company to pay all bills. But secondly, again, it doesn't really matter because that's a contract issue. Is Golden Rule stopped from paying future contract claims? Well, they paid the future contract claims, so it's not really an issue. Estoppel just had nothing to do with this case. Instead, the sole issue is the bad faith determination. Is there a reasonable basis? Did Golden Rule intentionally disregard the lack of a reasonable basis? And again, here you do have the contract language that clearly limits room and board and nursing charges to the most common semi-private room rate. That was like anywhere between $311 and $344 a day. But Golden Rule has a procedure, realizing that St. Luke's practice is unusual and not the customary practice. Golden Rule had a procedure where, under their claims bulletin, they take the repricing amount, apply the savings on the whole bill, say it's 5% on a $100,000 bill, they take that $5,000 and wipe out any non-covered expenses, and that's what they did in this case. And then the second step is they rebundle the nursing charge back into the bill and compare it with data that they collect from around the country, regionally and nationally, and determine, and they actually pay the higher of the two, the regional most common semi-private room charge with the nursing bundled back in there, or the national charge. And they did that in this case, and that took care of several more bills, as the Jennings affidavit indicates. And admittedly, that still left these three bills that are the subject of the dispute outstanding. One of these was determined was paid correctly under, even after all these steps, there was still a $900-some balance left. And that was ultimately waived by St. Luke's. That's something the plaintiffs would have owed, and that's undisputed. The other two that there was Neupogen charges, prescription drug charges bundled in there, were based on St. Luke's electronic billings. These are billings that St. Luke's generated. Golden Rule had nothing to do with generating St. Luke's bill. And I know there's some suggestions by plaintiffs in their briefs that somehow Golden Rule had something to do with that, but there's absolutely no evidence in the record. They suggested that in the court below, and the district court very clearly said there is no evidence of that. These are St. Luke's billings. Golden Rule relied on those electronic billings, processed the claim, and paid it accordingly. They were still, apparently they were still not satisfied, and now Golden Rule is on the third step of their proceedings, according to their claim bulletin, and that is you call the provider, and now you got to try to determine what level of nursing care. Is there something extra about this level of nursing care that would kick it up even more? And Golden Rule called Angie in September 2000 and had this discussion, and the purpose of that call was to determine was there some reason to further elevate these. And you could tell from that conversation, it's a tape-recorded conversation, so it's the entire substance is in the record. But you could tell from that phone call that the lady at the hospital couldn't really tell what she was talking about and was confused about the different levels of nursing and thought maybe it was level 2, level 3, whatever. Golden Rule ultimately bumped it up from a level 2 to level 3, paid some more money. And it later turned out it was actually a level 2. Well, then during the litigation, Golden Rule determines that, in fact, that was a mistake. The electronic bill was mistaken. It bundled the Neupogen into the nursing charge. That was St. Luke's bill. And once we did that, Golden Rule immediately paid the balance and wiped out the $3,800 in the contract claim. So in terms of whether or not Golden Rule acted in bad faith, it really comes down to, is D. Jennings' phone call somehow put with the hospital somehow put Golden Rule on notice that, you know, this was incorrect. And there is a reference in there that, no, the nursing charge is only such and such, like $1,500. But that's, and the district court dealt with that. The district court said, well, when you look at the course of conduct, the purpose of the call and what she was calling about, and even the hospital lady said, well, this is all very confusing. There wasn't anything to indicate that Golden Rule intentionally disregarded the rights of the insured by not acting on it sooner. What is clear is once Golden Rule realized there was a mistake, Golden Rule paid the claim, and there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that Golden Rule acted in bad faith. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Anything further, counsel? You have about 15 seconds. So talk extremely fast.
As the district court correctly found, there's absolutely no undisputed evidentiary material of record to establish that it was St. Luke's who bundled the Neupogen charges into the nursing charges that Golden Rule then improperly denied, claiming they were all for nursing charges. Our position is that the jury can find it was Golden Rule who did that, the only person involved in this that had an interest in doing so. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.